Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own.
Well, I was just going to say the top one on there kind of really hit a nerve for me was I feel like I don't want to use like the hot button word of toxic masculinity, but like, I feel like the culture has come in and told men that they can't be sensitive and they can't be vulnerable and they can't be open and that they have to be put together and strong all the time or they're not going to find someone that wants to be with them. And I think that's totally false. Mm-hmm. I think vulnerability begets vulnerability. And when a guy chooses to open up to me, it makes it so much easier and more comfortable for me to open back up to him. I think the question talks about having a rough day. Like, please share with me. Please talk to me about what's going on. Please let me be a safe space for you because I want you to be a safe space for me.
Amen.
That was a big one for me.
Yeah. I feel the same way. And I, not to go off on that rant also, but it's so frustrating to me because we have it on the flip side with, you know, the like feministic viewpoints and stuff. And it's just like, you know, I get frustrated when I see a guy ask that question, or, you know, or on the flip side of like, as women, like we feel like we can't be too vulnerable or too emotional because, you know, we also have to be strong. And it's like, it's bull.
Right. Exactly.
Bologna. So, yeah.
I agree completely. Leading. I think leading is another really big one. Like expectations for leading. I feel like that goes straight back to some of the feminist stuff that we were just touching on, that we have been so conditioned to be so independent and to not need a man and to do everything on our own. But we've also, it's also been built into our DNA to be drawn to someone that leads. And biblically, the role of the husband, or, you know, eventually the husband, is to be a leader. And I feel like so often we don't allow men to lead. I know that the question talks specifically about like opening doors and leading in prayers before meals. But I feel like there's an extra component of that, that we have to even give them the space to be leaders. We can't start stepping on their toes and taking over and not allowing them to lead us, whether that's, you know, running in front of them to get the door, or whether that's not allowing them to lead in a decision or in a spiritual conversation, or whether that's emasculating them or stepping over them in an opinion that they may have that we might not necessarily agree with. I feel like that's something that we've been conditioned to do also, is to assert our opinions on things. And if you don't agree with our opinions, you're wrong. And we're just going to walk all over you because we're supposed to be independent women. Yeah. And for a guy to be a leader, you have to let him lead. Like, if you continually hit him over the head with stuff, he's not going to lead.
Amen. I agree. And as somebody who was raised to be a strong woman, it's like, I want that though. Like, I still want somebody to step in and be like, nah, this is the direction we're going. And I'm like, cool, let's go. You know,
let's go.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to have an opinion about it, but like, once we're married at that point, it's like, okay, yes, we can discuss this and, you know, whatever, but obviously his decision is still the way we're gonna go. And if that's if that's not what God wanted, then that's on him, you know what I mean? You know, or if that is what God wanted and I was trying to stop it, that's on me. You know, so there's balance there, but anyway.
For sure. I think that goes back to the biblical marriage roles, that he is called to be the leader and we are called to be the helper. I've been in situations where he chose not to lead and someone had to. And because, I mean, I did fine. I'm not, you know, I'm not an idiot. I know how to make good decisions, but my role as a woman is not to be a leader. It's to be a follower and a helper. And when I have to step into the role of leadership, things don't turn out like they're supposed to, because that's not what I'm called to do.
Agreed. Agreed. It's like, I feel like we get, because of the cultural influences, right? We get wrapped up in the things that are more of a cultural influence instead of the biblical influence.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and like, and that's the other reason I'm loving those conversations. Because I'm like this, I'm hoping and praying that this is going to start to change a lot of different people's perspectives. But, you know, the concept of, is this a cultural influence or is this an actual like biblical principle that we need mm-hmm. to be following, you know, and being willing to be self-aware and look at it from that perspective is huge.
Yes. Amen to that.
It's just like, okay, if we all want these things, you know, we all say we want these like kingdom marriages and, you know, and to be able to serve with our future person, right? On either mm-hmm. side of the coin, then what's stopping us from doing that? And I feel like it comes back to culture and it comes back to where we're allowing the enemy to have a foothold that we don't realize is there, you know?
Boy, that's so true. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I can rant about that one for a while. Yeah,
I feel like we both could.
I'm just like, oh boy. It's funny because a lot of the conversations, even with some of the women who fall less on the traditional viewpoint, still will talk about that. Like, still will point out the fact that these different cultural influences have caused so many problems within Christian dating culture and even within Christian marriages, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just like, huh? So how do we change this?
What do we do about it?
What do we do about it, y'all? How do we that are still single, you know, and want to move forward? What do we do to change it? So yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, but maybe this conversation is where it starts.
Maybe. I think it's great to open a dialogue about it and to like let people talk and then people will listen that want to hear. And then hopefully that will open a dialogue in their own lives. I think in addition, it's also really important to learn from previous relationships, whether that be dating relationships, friendships, girlfriends, guy friends, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. As you go through life, it's important to learn your strengths and your weaknesses and where you tend to slip away from a biblical view and how to strengthen that.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Amen. I've shared with multiple people that like my best friend and my relationship has taught me more about marriage than anything else, any other dating relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just like, man, we've been through it, you know, but we've had to learn so much about how to, you know, communicate is a huge thing. But not only that, to within that communication, actually ask and then listen. Mm-hmm. You know, like ask the question like, oh, do we want to talk about this right now? Or what do you need in this situation? Instead of just assuming, oh, I know right. what she needs the right assumptions. Now. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Because we're polar opposites, but in all the best ways. And so it's super funny because we've been friends for almost 15 years and it's like, you know, now at this stage, we're like, okay, I know a lot of what she needs, but at the same time, it's being aware and actually asking, hey, is this what you need or is this what you need in this situation?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you think, you know, the answer is always, it's always good to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know. Yeah. It's so funny. We have these phrases that we'll just send each other. We're like, is it a feeling moment? Is it a thinking moment? What are we doing? What are we doing right now?
What are we doing? What do we need? Love that. Those are great questions.
Right. I'm like, are we being logical? Are we being emotional?
And which one do you want me to be here?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, where do you need me on this spectrum of things? Because, you know, sometimes like I'll have my like, okay, this is the response I want to give, but she might want to be more logical where I'm like being emotional about the said situation, you know, and then I'll have to check myself and be like, okay, now she wants to be logical and think this through. Okay, Tiffany, calm down. Okay, now you can be there.
Take some breath.
It's great though. Our relationship has been awesome. And we just tell each other all the time, like, I'm happy and thankful that we've gone through the things that we've gone through because we feel more prepared for different situations that are probably going to come down the path that we're, you know, we didn't know we were going to need to be prepared for. So
I feel like that's so cool to have been able to experience a friendship like that that's prepared you for other relationships. It's just such a blessing.
Mm-hmm. It is. So no, to other people out there, it may not always be a male or a female. It could be a friend.
Right.
Who has prepared you, that God has placed in your life to prepare you for other things that you had no idea was coming your way.
Very true. Very true.
Yep. Okay, so let's see.
I say, do you have any topics you specifically want to hit on that you haven't talked about yet?
Yes and no. Like, it's funny because I feel like I'll start in one area and then we'll end up encompassing all of it.
That's great.
And so I'm like, okay, these are obvious things that God definitely wants everybody to listen to and talk about, which has been great because obviously at some of these points where I was coming up with some of these questions, there is a section that came from guys, right? But then the other questions came from me. And I was just kind of like, God, I don't know which topics to talk about, but I know that these are topics that get talked about a lot, especially in the Facebook groups and stuff like that. And I'm like, so is this where we need to go? And it's been very apparent that, yeah, this is like, these are the things that need to keep being talked mm-hmm. about because they're such big hangups for all of us in so many different ways. So yeah. let me see. Let me kind of scan. When the question came through about pictures, I about died. I was like, oh boy.
I read that and I was like, I mean, fair. That's a valid question.
Right? And I was like, that's going to set some people off, but it's fine. I'm going to put it in there how he worded it.
Fine. And it's so true though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. But it's true on both sides, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, I have experienced a lot of that on the flip side. And so it's just kind of like, we're not the only ones that do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm such a big proponent of having a FaceTime call before accepting a date.
Yes.
It makes such a big difference to actually see the person speak live, you know, in live time and actually like see them in normal lighting. And I feel like it's so important because of that reason, as well as to see if you have any kind of actual like connection in conversation.
Mm-hmm. That is huge. Like I've done multiple Facebook or FaceTimes, but then I've also done like general phone calls, you know, but that's such a big thing because you feel like you can feel like you have quote chemistry via text message. Right. But
right.
Nothing replaces the face-to-face.
But the minute you sit down face-to-face, everything goes wrong.
Yep. And you're like, what did I just do?
I have to stay here for another 55 minutes.
Just make it through the horrible awkwardness of whatever this is.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
Add it to the good word for later.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that's the one thing that's like such a benefit with the way certain things are set up now, like with Zoom or certain apps do have like the FaceTime feature, you know, and whatever. And it's just like, I don't know why that's not a thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get nervous because I'm just like, I don't know if you're going to like me FaceTime. You know, but at the same time, that also tells me so much about them. And, you know, we all have our weird things. And so it's like,
oh, yeah.
Do I not? Well, do I want to be surprised on a date about how awkward this person is or not? I don't know.
I'd rather just know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm awkward enough as it is. So if we're both awkward, it'll be fine because I'll just be like, okay, cool. We're good. But I would rather know that walking in instead of being like, I don't know what to do now. But, you know.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, it makes me laugh. I'm like, I don't understand why people don't do that. Okay, so let's talk about the age thing. So like if a guy is 50 but looks 35, you know, that whole thing, like how do you approach? Because I feel like I haven't talked about this enough and I'm just curious if you have like any insight into that because I feel like guys get so wrapped up in the approach and I think that that also is like the feminist thing and
yeah, you know, all that stuff. I feel like I can understand why an older guy would have like issues approaching someone that's that much younger than he is. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, especially if it's in like a dating app or a community setting, that there should be grace and safety in at least communicating with someone. Mm-hmm. And seeing if you hit it off. I mean, I know people that have 13-year age gaps and have been, you know, happily married. You don't really see a problem with a large age gap. It just, like, don't be weird about it and don't hide it, I think is the biggest, don't try to not be creepy, because then it ends up coming across as creepy. Like, just be yourself, just reach out, just talk, just be friendly. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's going to be part of your first couple your first couple questions about age and, you know, where you are in life. And that's going to come up. I don't know. I also feel like it's decently easy to tell if a girl is in like her early 20s or in her early 30s. I mean, I know sometimes it's hard to tell age, but I feel like you should be able to guess within like a, you know, the decade that they're in, you know, right, plus or minus a few years. So I don't know. I feel like it would be fine. Like, I would not be offended if a guy that was 50 reached out to me just to chat about, you know, seeing my picture in the Facebook group or whatever. And we had some common interests, and that's cool. And I'm, you know, I have some good friends that are a little bit older, and I don't really have a problem with that. It's not going to feel creepy as long as, mm-hmm. you know, you're just being transparent and not trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. I've had a guy who was, I think, late 50s. He thought I was older, reach out from a different Facebook group a while back. And then when we got talking, he realized how old I was. And he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I thought you were older, you know, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I'm not creeped out. Like, I knew you were older, but I was still just going to chat with you because I was curious to see what you wanted to chat about. Like, I mean, I could tell he was older. I didn't know his exact age, right? Obviously, but sure. I mean, he was a little older, and I was like, that's cool. But my dating age range is like huge. So like, I don't necessarily discriminate on age.
Right. Well, I think age is just a number, especially if you take good care of yourself and, mm-hmm. you know, you're young at heart or whatever. Like, it's not as big of a deal for guys to get older and have kids as long as they're in good shape and they're healthy,
yeah,
as it is for us.
Yeah, exactly. Which you bring up a very good point. I've had so many conversations about that so far, and it's just, I don't know where you fall on that, like, that spectrum, but you know, where certain guys are like, oh, I want to date a younger woman because then she'll be more fertile. And I'm like, that is not the way that you need to look at it, sir.
No, it's really not. If you're supposed to have children, then the Lord's going to make that happen, whether through biological means or adoption or mentoring, or, I mean, like, mm-hmm. God has a plan, mm-hmm. For her life and for if she's supposed to, you know, if you guys are supposed to be together, for y'all's life. And I don't feel like not having a biological child should stand in the way of pursuing a specific person.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that, because I agree.
You're welcome.
Like, I hope you guys heard that. I always think too, like, I know when you look back at like the Old Testament, right? Different time frame, but still, Sarah was how old and was having a baby?
I know. I think the equivalent of like 90 or something.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, if God can do that back then, not that I want to have a kid at 90, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, hard pass on that one.
I'm just saying, like, going into your 40s, like, that's still a pretty big possibility for having children. And, you know, there's somebody just had a baby at 50 something. And I'm like, wait.
What? Yeah. But see, I just had a good friend that had a baby at 44.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it, you know, it's possible, and what God wants is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Say it louder for the people in the back.
For the people in the back. What God wants is going to happen.
That was perfect. I'm going to put that as a sound bite.
That's perfect.
It would be like, everybody come listen to this episode because it's going to be great.
It's going to be good.
Oh my goodness.
That was some good truth.
Seriously. You know, and again, this is why I'm so happy to be having these conversations, because we all get so caught up in all these other things, and it's like, why can't we just communicate and actually talk about it? you know, and have a discussion.
Preach.
Yeah.
Communication is everything. Oh my goodness. I just recently got out of a relationship that there was like zero communication. Mm. The behind the scene assumptions that were made and the missed communications and the things that were skipped over. It was unreal how unhealthy it became so fast because of lack of communication. And I feel like people don't understand how important the communication aspect of a relationship is. If you don't talk about things, how do you expect things to go well, to be healthy, to be in a functioning relationship?
Girl, preach.
I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
No, you get right back on and keep going. Like, seriously, I don't even know how many times I have been in situationships and been like, just communicate with me.
Please, just talk to me.
Just talk to me. Like, even if you think it's going to hurt my feelings or you're uncomfortable talking about whatever the subject is, just talk. Like, even if you're not sure how to get it out there either, like, I will sit back and I will let you speak. And then yep. I will ask for clarification.
Just verbally process and we'll get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just keep going. Also make it a safe space for me to be able to communicate.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Also, yes.
Also, yeah.
Yeah. Don't jump to conclusions because I'm also going to be over here trying to communicate back with you.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, guys, if you've learned anything through these episodes so far, we love communication. Yay.
Yay.
It keeps coming back to communication. And I'm like,
imagine that.
And I'm over here like, well, yeah, we weren't really taught how to communicate. So let's be fair.
That's true. We weren't. But it's also okay to learn and grow in communication together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we all have different communication styles too.
Right.
You know, and again, a question needs to be asked. Like, what is your communication style?
Right. What is the best way for me to communicate something to you?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, my best friend communicates with bluntness. If you are not blunt, it's not getting through.
Mm.
Whereas I communicate not with bluntness. If you are really blunt with me, I'm going to shut down. I need a little bit more cushion and padding in my communication than she does.
That's hilarious. I'm like, yep, that's pretty much my best friend and I.
Like the same person, but not at all.
Yeah. Yep. It's just like, okay, now we need to figure out how to say this to the other person. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we both have grown into not sugarcoating too much, especially with the other, you know, it's just like, okay, well, you're being dumb right now. So I'm going to tell you you're being
dumb. Exactly. And I feel like that's okay with best friends. Once you're comfortable, like, just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get to that level of like, okay, I can call you out right now because you being a little crazy and we need you to calm down.
Need you to back it up a little bit, ma'am.
Yeah. Just let's take a deep breath and think about this. But yeah, that's her thing with me. She's like, okay, you're emotional. She's like, we need to be logical. And I'm like, do we though?
No.
Really? I don't think we do. Sure? I don't want to be in my logical brain right now.
I just want to be emotional and yell and scream. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, ma'am. And I'm like, can I watch a, you know, a sappy movie on top of that? That'd be great too.
Yeah. Give me some ice cream.
Where are you at right now? Like, where are you located?
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay. I was like, it's only 2 hours. So she's somewhere in the middle of the country.
Texas.
Yay. I love Texas.
Me too.
Texas is awesome. That is one of the states I would move to in a heartbeat. So
yeah. Where are you at?
California.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to be one of them.
The whole country.
Basically, I'm going to be one of them California transplants that doesn't tell anybody I'm from California.
Oh my gosh. Every time I meet someone that says they're from California, they go, well, we just moved here from California, but we're the good ones.
Yes. I mean, you notice how I said California. I was just right, like, ugh. Exactly. I literally followed, like, if I'm meeting somebody in a different state or whatever, like I'm out, you know, traveling or whatever, I always follow it up with, but don't hold that against me.
Right. Exactly. Please don't hold that against me.
Because I am not a typical Californian. Thank you very much. But yeah, I love Texas. Dallas is beautiful too.
I love it. I'm north of Dallas in Plano, but I love it up here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful area. I love that. Because you're close enough to the city, but you're not in the city, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm a suburbs girl. I enjoy the big city, but I don't want to live there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to visit and to look at from afar. So let's discuss do you believe there's a one person for you or only one person for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I feel like most of my life, that's kind of what I thought, you know, raised on fairy tales and Disney movies, that there's only one person. Mm-hmm. And it's your life's quest to go out and find them. But as I started dating as an adult, I'm not sure that I believe that. I do believe that God has a best plan for you. Mm. And that if you're walking with him, he will make it apparent whether or not the person that you're talking to or with is that plan. Mm-hmm. But I believe that love and marriage relationships are ultimately a choice. And if you choose to be with someone that compliments you, then that will be your one. Whether it's the one, I think there could be, I think you could marry mm-hmm. one of a number of people and make them your one. I'm not sure that I believe in a the one for you.
Yeah. I love that. I agree.
Yeah. There's always going to be someone that you meet that you like their hairstyle better, or you like mm-hmm. the way that they encourage you better, or their eyes are prettier, or they know more scripture or whatever. But by making a choice and committing to it, that is your person. Mm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. Yeah. It's like the, so I know that you answered purity culture question mark.
I'm thrown around a little bit, but I'm not 100% sure exactly what that entails.
Okay. So I'm like my experience with like purity culture, it was like the kind of tied into the one, mindset of like, well, if you stay pure and you basically date in a healthy way, which means you're not really dating. Not that dating is unhealthy, but you know what I mean? Like you have to, it was presented more of like a courtship situation instead of like mm-hmm. traditional dating. So, if you quote date like that, basically as like a family, you don't have sex until you're married. You don't even kiss your husband until you're married, like that kind of stuff. If you do all the right things, basically God's going to bring you your one person.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's kind of like where purity culture
I don't know about all of that. I'm not sure that I experienced all of that, but I do have opinions on where the church has kind of failed us as teenagers, high school students, young adults. Mm-hmm. Because when you are in high school, and like I understand both sides of the coin, I understand that I grew up through the church in, right. Student ministry, in children's ministry, college ministry, young adult ministry. And I understand that the church has to take a very hard stance against sex outside of marriage.
Right.
But I think they did a disservice, at least to my generation, maybe mm-hmm. the generation before and the current one, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but for sure my generation, because they basically, I don't know, have a good verb for it, but evilized sex. Mm-hmm. And they preached against it so hard that yes, I did wait until marriage. So I'm divorced, but I was a virgin when I got married. Mm-hmm. And so was my ex-husband. And we did wait, but all of a sudden you say I do, and you're supposed to flip a switch. Yep. And what has been forbidden and preached against and called evil and dirty and bad your entire life is now not only good, but it's expected mm-hmm. and requested and supposed to be something beautiful. And that switch is near impossible to make. Mm-hmm. That switch was nearly impossible for me to make. even walking through premarital counseling and, you know, before you say I do type classes and prepping myself for that switch to happen, stepping into that from a lifetime of sex is bad, stay away, you know, it's evil, it's dirty, whatever. It's switching 20 plus years of that in a moment is, I think, detrimental to marriages that have that story. I don't know about the no kissing. I know some people that didn't kiss their spouse until they got married. That was not my story. But the demonizing of sex created so many problems in marriage. Even the demonizing of a sex drive. You feel dirty for even wanting it as a teenager or a college student or a young adult, and you stuff it down and you make it not exist anymore. And then all of a sudden you're supposed to have one inside of a marriage, and it's unrealistic. So I would say that piece of the purity culture affected me. Yes, in a very massive way.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been married, so I can't talk from that point of view. But I've heard that story over and over and over again of like similar things happening, you know. And as somebody who is going to be 34 and still a virgin, like I feel that way though. That like anytime we talk about sex, it's dirty, and I'm like, it shouldn't be.
Right,
you know, exactly. It shouldn't be this taboo subject. Like, in those of us who grew up in that like mindset and that culture, shift with purity culture and all the other things that went along with it, like we struggle, you know, to talk about it. And it's like, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, it is a big deal. Yes. Don't get me wrong, but like, it shouldn't be that big of a deal to talk about.
Right. Exactly. I would agree with that 100%. I will say that as I got serious into dating in my mid 20s, my mother started shifting the conversation, when we would talk about marriage, to talk about the fact that sex was a beautiful thing inside marriage. And so even though I grew up in the purity culture of the church telling me it was bad and dirty, I do have to say that it's also important that parents have that conversation as well, and that they're real and honest and raw about it with their kids, because I don't think the church is ever going to change that stance, because the Bible says it's wrong. And so the church is going to preach that it's wrong and to abstain and to stay away from and to not think about, you know, that at all. But I think when we step into parenthood, hopefully someday, it would be prudent for us to start laying that foundation in our children when the age is appropriate, that sex is not dirty. It's not bad. It's God-given and it's ordained in marriage. And it's, you know, it's meant to be good. It's meant to draw you closer. It's part of intimacy. It's part of closeness. It's part of that covenant relationship. And only part of that covenant relationship.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Shifting that narrative is like huge. I feel
it
like.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Also, kudos to you, girl.
Oh, thank you.
I know that in this world, and you know, I've been married, but I got married at 29. But I was a virgin until I got married, and outside of marriage, I'm, you know, still am. But that's awesome. Like, I'm so proud of the people that have stuck to that and that can say that. That's just awesome.
Thank you. There are some days where it's like,
because do I really want to be doing this?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and like the cultural stuff of like, oh, are you, I don't even know how many times I would probably, if I had $5 for every time I've heard that you're still a virgin,
I know.
I would be really rich.
Right. Like, yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Or the flip side of, oh, well, you're going to make some guy real happy someday. And I'm like, thank you. Like,
thank you. I think
I don't know how that was supposed to come out, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah. But I mean, I've also heard that, like, not phrased that way, but I've heard something similar from guys. guys that are like no way, you're still a virgin, that's like so awesome, you just became even more attractive. And I'm like, okay.
but why
yeah, I'm like, why am I suddenly more attractive because I'm a virgin? I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if that's just like some of it's left over from like the purity culture, in the sense that I'm like, okay, should I feel awkward now, or you know what, like, I don't know, because they never explain why. It's just this, they throw that out there and I'm like, okay.
Right. Okay, thanks. What to do with that?
We'll just pack that in the back and, like, you know, nope, talk about it later.
Store that away for later.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, okay. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things. But thank you. It has not been easy. But
I know.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Not easy, but it it's worth it. And it's what we're called to do.
Yes, exactly.
And it really does set us apart.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is true. Yep. I have to remind myself of that. Yeah. You know, like, whether I've said this in like a previous episode that I released, but you know, whether I marry a virgin or not is not no longer like a huge deal for me, but right. it's more like, will that person, like, if they aren't a virgin, like, respect, you know, those personal and physical boundaries. Yeah.
Well, if it's the right person, he will.
Yes. Yes, I know. I know. But, you know, it's just funny because people are like, well, don't you still want to just marry a virgin? And I'm like, I mean, sure. But I'm also not like, I know there's forgiveness there, you know?
Right. And I feel like at this point, like at this stage in life, it's harder and harder to find that, you know, people have been married before, or they, you know, have a past of some sort, or they, you know, slipped up once, or I mean, like, you know, I feel like that's such a common thing to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which, again, it's not a deal breaker for me. Like, it used to be, like, it used to be
for me too. Yeah. In my 20s, it was a deal breaker.
Yeah. It was huge deal breaker. I was like, okay, well, bye. You know, like, thank you. Next. Thank you. Next. But now I'm like, okay, you know, Tiffany, where's your forgiving heart, you know, like, because not all, like, we're never going to be perfect. And
right.
You know, and it, like, I know I have a question in here about like, would you date somebody who has a porn history, you know? And I've had some really interesting conversations surrounding that question, but for me, it kind of lines up with the, you know, where are you in that healing journey? And as far as like, you know, whether you've had sex with multiple people or just one other person, like, it still comes down to where are you in that journey, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Is it still a major struggle for you, or, you know, was it this one time or even a couple time thing? But, you know, you have different mindset on it now, and like, you want to stay pure and, you know, like, all of that. So
I would agree with that, like a case by case basis kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, also like with the understanding of, you know, if they're truly repentant, you know, then there needs to be forgiveness there. So
exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Anywho, well, that was a fun little like rabbit trail of a conversation.
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm just like, I don't have a plan. I'm letting God just
the conversations
guide.
Just kind of go.
Yep. Ooh, you have a good response for what does a provider look like for you. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Is that towards the bottom? Oh,
yeah. Page 11.
Yes. I started typing out that response and I was like, oh, well, yeah, of course. I would like for him to be, you know, to have a good job. And I was like, but, you know, there's so many more aspects about being a provider than just monetarily. Mm-hmm. Like, I do want someone that, like I said, provides a safe space, provides spiritual leadership, and even more than that, provides good conversation and vulnerability and the freedom to be myself and to make and learn from mistakes, that provides a spirit of fun and friendship and adventure inside of a marriage. I feel like there's so many things, and I feel like it kind of leaks over into, you know, what characteristics or, you know, would you want in a husband? But I feel like those all fall under provision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I think it's such an important thing to kind of look at it, not just financially. Like, what does it really mm-hmm. look like in all these different aspects?
Right.
So if you are up for it, I would love to talk about what's your biggest struggle with dating currently.
Sure. So I alluded to it a little bit in the answer to my question, but my biggest complaint about dating right now, I'm not on dating apps at the moment, but I've done it before, mm-hmm. but is the interview.
Yes.
I hate it mm-hmm. with a burning fiery passion. Like you start talking to someone and they ask you 20 questions and then they're like, okay, what questions do you have for me? I'm like, look, I just want to talk to you. I want to just get to know you. I don't want to sit down and ask interview questions. I want it to be organic and natural. Mm-hmm. I just want to have a conversation because all of those things will come in time. But if we don't click, if we can't have an actual conversation, there's no point in continuing.
Yep.
I also never thought I'd have to date again because I was married and am divorced. Mm-hmm. Going back into dating now in my mid-30s is tough. People are in a totally different stage of life. Most people are already married with kids. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are single and in their 30s have been married or have kids. And I said in one of my other questions, I can't remember what the question was, but I actually am a fan of a man with a story. Oh. Because I have my own story, I'm not looking for someone with a sordid past, but someone that has experienced God's grace in the hardships of their life and has made mistakes has so much more compassion and so much more grace for my story mm-hmm. and for the stories of people around them. It changes people. When you've gone through hard things, mm-hmm. it changes your perspective on other people that have gone through hard things because it's not like you chose to go through the hard things. It's not like it was even your fault, mm-hmm. you know, necessarily. But here you are on the other side, divorced and starting over. And the ability to see other people through the same lens that you've walked through is super important to me. So I actually don't have a problem with dating people that have been married and divorced or that have kids because they get it. Like they get the hard of life. Because as a Christian who walked into a Christian marriage, to then be divorced is something that you can't understand unless you've been there. Mm-hmm. And so being with someone who gets it is, it's totally different from someone who's never been married before. Mm-hmm. And I know that was a little bit of a tangent and a rabbit trail, but
that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's your story. And, yeah. you know, that was great.
Yeah. I also think people just aren't real. Mm. People are so desperate to find someone to marry at this age that they're not real. They don't show you who they really are. And I think that's a really big struggle mm-hmm. with dating right now as well. Mm-hmm. I just want to know who you are. Please don't put on a face because you're going to end up wasting my time if you do. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not waste each other's time. Let's see who we really are. And if we're called to be together and if we go together well, then we'll give it a shot. But if we don't, then we're too old to be wasting time with masks and fake grunts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like, you don't waste my time and I won't waste your time.
Exactly. Like, time is valuable. And, it is. You know, again, we're all out here trying to figure it out, but like, let's not be so fake about it. You know, I would rather find an authentic person and, you know, instead of this fantasy idea of what I think I need, you know, I would rather get to know the true individual. And yeah, because how else am I supposed to love you? I don't know who you really are.
Someone real.
Yeah.
Someone flawed. God, but someone that is going to fight for me and love me. Mm-hmm. Than this fantasy Prince Charming picture that I've built up in my head over my whole life.
Yes.
Know? Yeah.
Yep. Same.
Yep. Yep. And dating takes so much time. Getting to know people takes so much time. So going back to that interview question, I understand why people do it, because they want to check and see if you have any of their big red flags before they put time into you. But at the same time, I feel like there's a happy medium. Like, ask the hard questions, but also just have natural conversations.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's it, that you bring up such a great point too. If you're on the same page with those like hard topics, the conversation's going to flow, because right. you're going to start talking about it, you know, instead of it just being like, okay, let me just ask you this, just to make sure, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like, open it up for a conversation about those hard topics. Right? Because that's the other thing too, is like, I feel like within some of those, like those big areas, there's such a spectrum. And like, if you don't allow them to answer that, and then you ask follow-up questions, you're just going to assume that, you know, they don't necessarily agree with something, or they do agree with it, but then there's such a caveat, you know, of what that might look like.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, like an example, like I'm big on homeschooling. Like, I want to homeschool my future children. So, you know, some people will hear that and be like, oh, okay, like, cool. And I'm like, no, but there's like a further bit of a conversation that needs to happen within that, because I want to homeschool for very specific reasons.
Right. This is a non-negotiable for me. And
yeah.
Here's why.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of it just being like, oh, okay, I'd be okay with that. And I'd be like, no. We need to line up and on why we're okay with that, because that also tells me more about your character and your viewpoint on some of these other subjects. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So again, communicate.
Yes. And I think that's a really good point, is that even if you happen to align on something, or he's like, oh yeah, that's fine, we can homeschool. Like, no, let's dive into the heart behind this. And I feel like that that applies to other aspects too, from, you know, financial stuff to church things, to where you want to live, to holiday traditions, to whatever. I feel like just aligning on it is great, but do your hearts actually align on it is a whole other question.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It really is. And like, you bring up another thing that I ironically had to like figure out recently with holiday traditions. I was talking to somebody and they're of the mindset, which, no judgment to them, it's fine, but they're of the mindset that all holidays are pagan. And I'm over here like, you know, and so right. I had to go, wait, what, you know, and kind of try to have a conversation about it though, because I'm like, okay, wait. Does that mean that you just don't celebrate at all? Like, or
right.
is there like a, you know, a caveat within there, you know, do you still kind of do some things or whatnot? And, you know, so throughout the conversation, it kind of came out that there were certain things that were like, okay, you know, as far as like gift giving around Christmas, but like no decorating trees and like none of that other stuff, because that's where the paganism comes in. And I was like, hold the phone. I live for decorating trees every Christmas.
I live for Christmas.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, this is not going to work out. You know, because I'm like, if you can't, like, if you're not okay with me decorating a Christmas tree, then we're going to have some other fundamental issues here. And
right. Exactly.
You know, but that was just my experience, right? Like, there's so many different other caveats within these things that we might not realize are big issues until we actually have a conversation about it. So
what was that word again for those facts? Communication.
Oh, yes. Look at that. Communication again.
Look at that.
Ask the question.
Have the conversation.
Yes.
Dig a little deeper.
Exactly. Because, I mean, again, that was the whole thing, is at first I was like, okay, so then that means you don't do anything, right? And then the comment I got back was, well, no, like, do you just think I don't celebrate Christmas with my kids at all? And And I'm like, no.
Okay, well, explain it to me.
Exactly. You know, and then that's where the conversation like turned into like, we still give gifts, but, you know, it's more focused on like the, you know, because of what Christ did for us. And then also he referenced like, you know, the wise men brought gifts. And I was like, you know, and I'm like, that's what my family does, but I'm sorry, we also decorate a tree, you know?
Right.
And so it was funny. I was like, okay, so you do parts of Christmas, air quoting there, but you don't do like these other things, you know? And the same thing was right. Like with Easter, he was like, well, I focus on, you know, whatever, but I don't let my kids hunt Easter eggs. And I was like, that's like half the fun. Yeah, like,
right? When you're little. I want my kids to hunt Easter eggs.
Exactly.
But so, I also understand that there are people out there that will agree with that.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. That's great. That's just not me. So, right. You know, it was like one of those things where I was like, okay, well, this is where it ends then, because we were aligning on all these other things except for this. So.
Right, but this is a non-negotiable for me, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, I'm sorry, not sorry. I will have probably multiple Christmas trees in my future. Right.
I will have 7 Christmas trees throughout my house.
And we'll probably leave the Christmas lights up on the house all year long.
Yes. I have a friend that has a tree. I think it's a white tree in her office. And she just changes out the ornaments. So it's a Christmas tree. And then it's a Valentine's Day tree. And then it's a, I don't know what she does in the spring. But then it's summer. And then it's 4th of July. And then it's, you know, fall and Thanksgiving, and then it's Christmas again.
Yep. I will be that person too.
I love it.
Yes. I'm like, that's like so much fun because it just makes the house look festive, you know? And it's an easy way to show off like your personality, I feel like.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
Yeah. And I also have like, you know, because I'm going to be 34. So my mom's big thing, her tradition is she gets us ornaments every year. And
hey, mine too.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Such an ornament collection.
Me too. So it's like my goal in my future house to have like one tree decorated as this theme, one tree is this theme.
Yeah, mine too.
Oh my gosh, we'll have to come decorate each other's trees.
Yeah, after you move to Texas.
Heck yeah. I'll be like, let me just bring out all the little mini trees I have and we'll decorate them.
I love it. We actually did that one year at my parents' house.
That's so
we
cool.
Had a Santa tree. We had like my mom has a lot of cat ornaments. We had a cat tree.
Nice.
We had an angel tree. We had our normal tree. And then we had a tree upstairs that was only old like ornaments that the kids had made, like that we made for our parents.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love
that. It was so much work, but it was so cool.
Heck yeah. It's so funny. I'm like, I have so many different themes going on because of how many different things I've liked growing up.
Right. Yes.
You know, and I'm just like, well, it'll be fine. My house is going to look like a smorgasbord of ornaments, but it'll be cool.
But I love it.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.